last word on business on Today FM.
With Capital Flow, turning business lending on its head by putting people first. Visit capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post, is with us. Ben was telling us about the Facebook announcement of 10,000 new jobs for the EU. A lot of those might come to Ireland. Will that sort of soften our cough for criticising Facebook about all of the activities that it gets up to that the whistleblower recently revealed?
Nothing like the prospect of thousands of well-paid engineering and software developer jobs being dangled in front of many European governments, because that Facebook announcement today didn't specify any single country where these jobs will go, but just said 10,000 jobs over the next few years will be created in the European Union. You would imagine that as Facebook's European headquarters, home to 6,000 staff and a big fancy new headquarters they're building in Ball's Bridge, we will get some of these. But you are right, Matt, and you would be. We're cynics in journalism, aren't we? You would look at the problems Facebook have had in the last number of weeks with the whistleblower going before the Houses of Congress. And a big story in the New York Times over the weekend talking about the hundreds of millions of dollars Facebook has spent in marketing for Instagram to get more young people, teenagers in particular, to use the Instagram app, that perhaps it is looking to take the shine or put some of the shine back on the company. You'd also have to say, Matt, this is another attempt by Facebook to get the demographic where it's struggling to compete right now, because we know TikTok has signed up 1 billion people, mostly young teenagers and people in their 20s. Snapchat have been doing well for the last number of years, and Facebook have been really struggling to get a younger demographic. A lot of people who use Facebook are probably more of an older generation that advertisers don't want. So Mark Zuckerberg is looking for the next big thing and has come up with this idea of the metaverse. And Ben did a great job saying what the company believes it is. I was going to say it's a chance to part you from your money in the virtual world for nothing that you'll get in the real world. But Mark Zuckerberg, he is somebody who can take a bet of something that might take 10 to 15 years, cost billions of dollars to develop, and hiring 10,000 people is no small bet on this. So Zuckerberg and Facebook believing this is something that will get young people, a younger demographic, to spend much more of their time in this metaverse in the hope that they will spend money, real money, and that advertisers will also spend real money.
Now, there was a report in the Irish Times over the weekend about a pending Future of Media Commission report on the licence fee at RT. What is it recommending?
Yeah, always beware of stories being dropped to the Saturday papers, which people might use as flying kites or might look to bury a bit of bad news. The suggestion coming from this story was that the Future Media Commission, who's due to publish its report in the next couple of weeks, will recommend that the licence fee, which costs people €160 per year and delivers around €190 million in revenue to RTE, might be scrapped, and that the more favoured option for funding RTE would be direct exchequer funding, i.e. that every year, instead of you, me and everybody else paying our licence fee, that it would actually, we wouldn't pay it, but that the exchequer would somehow make up this shortfall. Now, this is bound to be very controversial because, of course, like RTE has a problem right now receiving what it believes is the entire licence fee due to evasion. So it believes it's missing out on somewhere in the region of €50 million. But if the government had to find a cheque for over €200 million, what taxes would it have to put up elsewhere, or what spending would it have to cut elsewhere to make up for this funding shortfall? And there is, according to the Irish Times, Pat Leahy, the political editor, a lot of opposition, particularly from the Ministers for Finance and Public Expenditure and Reform, to the idea that taxpayer cash would go directly to RTE. Now, the other suggestion is a broadcasting charge, so that instead of people who don't have a TV saying, well, why should I pay the licence fee? Everybody who has some form of device, be it a smartphone or a laptop or an iPad or whatever it is, and if you access digital content, well, therefore, you would pay this money over. But that is seen, according to the Irish Times, as something that could spark something like the Irish water protest. There's no easy way of solving this conundrum, Matt, that if you want public sector broadcasting, you have to pay for it. But does all of that money have to go to RTE? A lot of newspapers, radio stations and websites would say, hang on a minute there, hold your horses just a little bit. if you're going to start handing out taxpayers' money, look at our content and do we deserve some of it too?
Now, it seems that Irish businesses have been forced by COVID, or maybe they were going to do it anyway, but most of them seem to have gotten their act together when it comes to selling online.
Yeah, and there's always been an issue in the last number of years, and the company that runs the IE domain registry would always say this, that there has been a slowness in Irish companies, Irish businesses setting up websites and selling online. Well, figures from the Central Statistics Office today showing that more companies than ever have a website. About 4 out of 5 companies now have a website, and 4 out of 10 are allowing transactions over their website. And that is something that has increased. So the proportion of websites and particularly Irish businesses out there now transacting online has increased. It's increased by 19% over the course of the pandemic. More companies out there setting up websites, allowing for click and collect. There's been a big increase in that. But most of their customers, Matt, and this is where it stood out to me today from the CSO survey, most of the customers of Irish businesses are still in Ireland. Now, for some things, that's obvious. For retail, that is obvious if you're offering click and collect and selling online. But if you want to have more Irish brands and more Irish brands doing well, we're going to have to find bigger markets. And you're not going to do that in a country of 5 million people. But again, positive news in which at least more companies are beginning to transact, I beg your pardon, online.
Okay, and finally, an international story which could have global significance, a further slowdown in the Chinese economy.
Yeah, barely growing between July and September of this year. And China's economy did respond fairly quickly last year after it got over its COVID shutdowns. But there has been signs over the summer that the economy slowing dramatically. So if you take July to September compared to the previous 3 months of April to June, China's economy only grew by 0.2%. The annual increase was around 4.9%. But that annual increase, well below the rates that China has seen in recent years of around 10%. Part of the problem, bad weather causing problems all over China, power shortages, supply chain issues, lots of things that we're now beginning to see affecting our own economy. And also that big lingering fear about China's construction market and whether its property developers are under real pressure. New construction starts in China down by almost 14%. So the pressure on the Chinese economy from construction to manufacturing, all sorts of issues that they haven't seen in recent years and really having an effect on the Chinese economy.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.